In Unity, we teach that everything begins and ends as a divine idea. On this Independence Day weekend, we remember that the United States of America was a divine idea at one point, in the mind of one, maybe two, maybe a few people that were in search of a more perfect union, something better than what they were experiencing, a dream for something greater. A seed planted by the presence of the One, the Source, in our hearts. This song is to honor those who had that dream before anybody ever crossed an ocean and took land away from the native people. We're going to acknowledge all of it today. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But there's still a divine idea and a divine seed that lives within the hearts of every American. And each one of you has a dream as well. You came into this room, and we can come together and nurture each other's dreams here. Very different dreams, but we come together as a community. And so this song is dedicating this song to the founding dreamers and the dreamers that are in this room right now. There's a part for you, you'll know.
Just a simple dream, filled with deep desire, just one person's dream. Fueled by inner fire, the power of hope and promise, rising from within us as vision, passion, and love. Just a simple dream. So much more. Just one person's dream, stirring from within them. Tell it's two or three, believing it can happen. Then suddenly that dream has blossomed into something beautiful and real. Just a simple dream, yet so much more. This is your part, and the dream goes on and on forever. Our hearts dream on, growing ever stronger. Let that dream fly far and long. Sing your song as the dream goes on and on. Just as a tiny seed grows into a flower, a heart that holds a dream is an awesome power, moving on its faith, pushing ever forward, stretching, yearning, and growing. A mustard seed of faith, yet so much more. God has called our hearts together, making dreams come true. For one another, love is our foundation. We're one in co-creation, reaching and touching many more. From a single person's dream comes so much. The dream goes on and on.
The United States of America, the dream goes on. And so it is, and so we let it be.
Thank you, Richard. Oh, yes, exactly. When Richard and I were talking about today, we've gone back and forth and things have morphed, but we knew that the talk title was The Divine Idea of the United being in quotation marks states. And when he sent those songs to me, yes, that's exactly. And there's another one that you'll hear a little later. But it just was so perfect even before the talk was the talk. And so the talk went from a talk to a panel. And welcome back, April. And we decided to center it around five guiding questions, if you will. Because what part of the beauty of America being a salad as opposed to a melting pot, we all get to keep our unique identities, is that we have unique identities and perspectives. And what better way than to have a panel with guiding questions where you can hear some different perspectives on these thoughts. So we're not saying either any of us are right or wrong, but there will be some differences for you to grapple with. And that's good. That's good stuff.
I love that I belong to a community where we can grapple. We can wrestle, we can tussle a little bit and come to a greater awareness, a greater epiphany and revelation of whatever we happen to be wrestling with. Today, we're wrestling a little bit with what is the divine idea of America? And that's not a rhetorical question. For you, when you think about the divine idea, what is the divine idea of America? Call it out. Freedom. My ear is not what it used to be. Yes, the pursuit of happiness. All these things make up this melting pot that is America. You know, in Unity, we teach that everything is based upon a divine idea. Everything is first created in mind and then in reality, as the song talked about in the dream. The building, before building was here, there was a divine idea in the mind of an architect that it could possibly be, and then poof, it happened. Before there was a Unity North, it was the mind, it was a thought in the mind of the one, the presence and the power of the one, and then planted into the minds of those who are the founding mothers and fathers of this organization. Before there was a United States of America, there was a divine idea, a divine possibility of freedom, of peace, of cooperation, of collaboration, all these great ideas, a divine potential. You see, the divine mind, this is what we teach, is kind of the trinity of unity. A divine mind holds a perfect pattern of possibility. And our work is then to bring those patterns onto the earthly realm. Our job as American citizens is to take the divine idea of America, the United States, and to live them. And we're going to wrestle a little bit with how we are bringing them or not bringing them today. There was a first and a divine idea of a more perfect union. We don't like what the world is showing us. And so implementing our founding fathers and mothers implemented what Unity teaches. First, envision what a more perfect union might look like. And then get busy moving your feet and your hands and your decisions to make it be. The United States was formed in the mind of God and the minds of people long before it became a nation. Now, as I watch the news today and I pay attention to what's happening historically, does the divine idea still exist? I'll be honest, it's easy to feel hopeless and to give up hope and to actually get depressed. You watch the evening news, and I don't think it was the divine idea in the mind of the one for a divided nation, to be frightened, to be living in a place of fear, to be reactive. But I think more the way the original mind, God, love, life, whatever you want to call that source, saw it as one family, many faces, yet one family. It sounds a lot like what we do here in Unity. Many beliefs, many cultures, many ways of looking at the life and exploring freedom. One sacred life expressing through equality and freedom. Now, our history has shown us that it's been a struggle. It has been a tussling and a wrestling match to get to live out that divine idea. And we are not a perfect nation, but we're moving in that direction. We are moving into the direction of doing the divine idea better. So we are not a perfect country. We're going to own that today. We're not a chosen country above other nations. Not a country exempt from our shadow and looking at our mistakes And this might be construed as political, but there was one of the proudest moments that I had as an American citizen is when this country and its leadership said, we're going to own for the rest of the world. We're not better than you. We are one nation on an earth, and we have made some mistakes. And I was really proud to be an American. And I thought, there's evolution happening here. There's growth happening here. And growth comes from examining and owning clearly where we have not lived up to the divine idea, where we have fallen down. We have our struggles. We have our contradictions. And we as a nation, honoring the divine identity, should also have an accountability. That's what we teach here in Unity. We are accountable for that which does not meet the divine idea of Richard or Julie or Ted, the divine idea of a nation built around the idea where opportunity can expand, conscience can be honored and called out, diverse people can live together, and that out of the many, a united one might become more than a pretty motto. Might become more than just a pretty idea, but a lived experience. And so we are on a journey. We come together on an Independence Day weekend, and we realize that we're still on a journey to get to that place. And so a couple of thoughts before I turn it over to my colleagues. The divine idea that the United States is still trying to become. Each day, each one of us as citizens are trying to create a more perfect union, a more perfect unity. A more perfect nation. The measure of the United States of America never has been fully realized. We've not gotten there yet. We've come a long way. When I look at how far we have come with the bumps in the road, okay, we're better than we used to be, but we're not what we can be, and we're not what we were intended to be. The measure of the United States will be whether it is still striving to grow. Still owning our mistakes, and still returning to the divine idea of equality for all.
I love that idea of the divine potential. And I think holding on to that gives us, well, I speak for the I, it gives me peace and hope. And I am in education when I'm working with teachers. This happened this year, actually, when we had a unit on government and my teachers were struggling with how to present it to the kids. It's a unit they've taught many, many, many times. But this year, they didn't know what to say. And so we held on to that divine potential. That was what I shared with them. And every time someone would come to me and they were like, I just don't know how to teach this unit. And then we would talk about the potential of the United States. They said, oh, okay, I can teach that. And we're just in this space where peace and hope are so important. So there's this poem that I found by Sonia Sanchez. And I love this title. Poem for July 4th, 1994. So it had to be read. So I can only read an excerpt of it. So if you're interested, again, it's Poem for July 4th by Sonia Sanchez, if you want to look it up. For we the people will always be arriving, a ceremony of thunder, waking up the earth, opening our eyes to human monuments, and it'll get better. It'll get better. If we the people work, organize, resist, come together for peace, racial, and social justice, it'll get better. It'll get better. So it's that work, but there is hope. Always hope. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I thought you looked at me to go.
I did look at you to go. You read me right.
Okay. So the idea of hope, the idea of love, even the idea of silence, these to me are descriptors of the center of consciousness. And if we're in a unity church, I'm making this big assumption that we're all on the same, at least launch pad, that we believe that at the core, we're all one. Is there anybody here who doesn't believe that? Okay, that's cool. I'm glad only one of you put your hands up. So that being said, there's always the contrarian. But that being said, if we all can agree that beyond the body, there's this one central core, we get the opportunity. It would behoove us to keep looking at that core so that I don't identify the Atman, the soul, the Christ consciousness with the behaviors that are being expressed in the physical world. Does that make sense? And it takes work. It takes my internal work of going into the silence. Going into the silence doesn't mean that I'm ambivalent or apathetic to what's happening outside. It means that I still act in a way that I believe promotes justice, fairness, equality. And at the same time, while I'm challenging those who see the world should be expressed differently, I constantly remind myself that I am one and the same with them. And that anchor helps me to operate through glasses that are love instead of glasses that are hatred. Because you have to see what you want more of in your life. And I'm looking around with hatred, what am I going to get more of in my life? Exactly. So when I'm working with someone I don't agree with, I remember it's their actions that I don't agree with. I can't disagree with their soul. We're of the same substance.
Excellent. I love that piece about the internal work. That resonates so much. If you've ever listened to me do a talk, you know I will say you have to start with self. And so when we're thinking about changing the world, yes, and you start with self. You bring peace here, and that can resonate outward. So it brings us to our second question. What comes to mind when you think of America? Now, that might be a quote or a song or a phrase, and I encourage you, for yourselves, we cannot pass the mic all around, but I encourage you to think of what comes to mind when you think of America. So for me, the first thing that comes to mind, and of course, I'm biased by this time of year, but what comes to mind when I think of America is Frederick Douglass's piece, What to a Slave is the 4th of July. So I'm going to read an excerpt of it. Again, if you're interested, it's Frederick Douglass. This, for the purpose of this celebration, is the 4th of July. It is the birthday of your national independence and your political freedom. This to you is what the Passover was to the emancipated people of God. It carries your minds back to the clay and to the act of your great deliverance and to the signs and to the wonders associated with that act that day. This celebration also marks the beginning of another year of your national life and reminds you that the Republic of America is now 76 years old at that time. I am glad, fellow citizens, that your nation is so young. 76 years, though a good age for a man, but a mere speck in the life of a nation. 70 years is the allotted time for individual men, but nations number their years by thousands. According to this fact, even now, you are only in the beginning of your national career, still lingering in the period of childhood. I repeat, I am glad this is so. And so if nations number their years by thousands, and we're at 250, we're still babies. We are still trying to figure out what it means to be a nation, what it means to be a United States. We're babies as far as that is concerned. And when I look at myself and when I'm honest, when I work with my students and they're very upset, I tell them they have big feelings and they're valid. I have big feelings and they're valid when it comes to the 4th of July. I have big feelings as a Black person in this country. I have big feelings as a woman in this country and big feelings as an immigrant and a daughter of immigrants in this country. And sometimes when I sit myself in those feelings, I can sit in frustration, I can sit in anger, I can sit in sadness, and none of those are equivalent to peace or hope, right? So the glasses theory, what we are looking for, we are going to find evidence of. Now, I'm not going to forget the past. I'm not going to stop teaching the past. All of that is important. But if you think about the concept of Sankofa, and the image for Sankofa is a bird looking over its shoulder, picking up seeds from the past and bringing them to the present for a brighter future. Sankofa. And that, I believe, is part of what we need to do. We don't have to live in the past, but we can't forget the past because we don't want that repeated. There are certain pieces we don't want repeated, so we have to know about them, right? And so I can bring seeds of beauty to the future, still knowing what the past is, but I want unity in the future. I want peace in the future. That's the lens that I'm going to look at the world through.
I think that's why it's so very important, and we celebrate Independence Day, but also Juneteenth. And as Danielle is sharing about the seeds, I always like to go to nature. I have a relationship with the birds in my yard. We have communion every single morning. And when is a bird apt to drop their seed from the feeder? As I watch them, it's when they are fearful or they are angry. And I see both kinds of birds at my feeder. They're grabbing seeds at the feeder, but they're concerned somebody else is going to take my seed. And they look like this. There's a lot of us in the country looking like that. Somebody's going to take mine. I have to get mine because there is private good. And then those other birds that are like, I'm going to get all these seeds and nobody else can have them. They're angry. They're angry birds. And they are also dropping the seeds and the nutrition to get back to their nest. They never get back to the nest with their seed. And the seed that makes it back are the birds that are in peace, that are holding what is theirs, no greed, but enough to feed my family in the nest. And I think, wow, that really plays out in the United States of America right now. We are young, and we are figuring it out. You know, unity is young. We didn't even get organized till about 1929. And I go talk to my rabbi friends, my Christian friends, my Hindu friends, and they're talking about religions that are thousands upon thousands of years old. And I go, well, we're still trying to figure it out at unity. But what we are holding on to is the divine idea that is eternal, that is immortal in unity. And as a nation, our job is to go to the feeder and hold on to the divine idea, even if it has not been lived out, and allow myself to hold the possibility and not the fear, not the hatred, and not the anger that is going to absolutely keep us divided. So this is the question that's before us, is what keeps America united and what keeps America divided? I want to hear from you. I want you to call it out. What, the first question, what will keep America divided? Yes, 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 yes. And whose job is it to correct that? So many people think, well, we have elected officials, it's their job to fix the problems that we see of the division in our country. And I'm saying the problems of our country are going to be solved at dinner tables, front porches, and churches like Unity North, where we remember the divine idea. What's going to divide us is absolutely holding contempt over oneness. You cannot be a United States and hold the energy of contempt that is rampant in our nation today. The words that we see on the seal of the United States and on much of our currency, E pluribus unum. Who knows what it means? Out of many, one. We don't have to think alike, look alike to be one. Back to Avril's point from earlier. We are contemptuous about looking at somebody who thinks different. We don't agree with their actions. But until I can find the divine idea of that person, first within my own heart, the divine idea of me, and then look across an aisle perhaps and behold the divine idea of another person, we have no hope of ever becoming united again. Sounds a lot like unity. Our motto, diversity, acceptance, and oneness. Do we have to have uniformity to be in unity? That's death. If we all think alike, then you're all unnecessary. If we all think the same way, then that's not a melting pot at all. That's a quick trip to stagnation, boredom, and eventually death. Our truest currency and what will ultimately keep the United States of America is a citizenry that chooses the divine idea of understanding over contempt, curiosity over certainty, divine ideas of cooperation over domination, service over self-interest. And of course, the ultimate divine idea of love over fear. How many Course in Miracles students do we have? There's only two things going on here, love or fear. At any given moment, we as citizens of this country get to ask the question, am I adding to the fear or am I adding to the love? Even if everything within me wants to lash out and fight. Even if I want to reach across and just strangle your opinion and your belief system, I'm adding to the fear and the duality as opposed to adding to the fear. What will keep us divided is the energy of us and them. And that's running the country right now. When fear enters our consciousness, we're like the birds dropping seed all over the place. Divine ideas are forgotten and they're dying. Fear will see political party before seeing my neighbor. Fear will see rich and poor, have and have not, before seeing brother and sister. It will see conservative and liberal before seeing a child of God. And is that always easy? No, it's not. Is it worth the arduous effort? Yes, it is. Fear will see ethnicity before humanity, and fear will give birth to pride, tribalism, greed, resentment, racism, suspicion, and the dehumanization. And then, if we pass legislation, we pass legislation in order to validate our divisiveness. And it starts on your front porch. The changing of that paradigm, the changing of that idea changes at lunch today. It changes sitting on a platform when you have different opinions that you wrestle with. When you sit together, a young and old, an elder and a brand new baby, all in the same room. And we ask the questions, not what is right for us right now, but what's right for me right now. What is right for us right now and my grandchildren? My wrestling, you know, I'm at 64 years. I'm not going to change much in my world, but I'm doing the work that I do for my grandchildren. Plain and simple. What will divide us? Continued fear. What will unite us? Continued love. Choose wisely.
This is something that we make every single moment. And that's why we have, that's why I don't like the word have to. I'm really working on the haves and shoulds. But I invite, and we get the privilege of going back into these practices, this time here, so that when we're out there, we remember. Who did the mala with me? Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. That is a practice of remembering peace, peace, peace. Because it's like peace, 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 squirrel. Peace, 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 person I don't like. Peace, 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 traffic. So we have that can, it's not in being neurotic. It's remembering that this is seductive out here. It's very seductive to get caught up in your opinions. It's getting self-righteous makes you feel high at a certain level.
How many people in the room over the last 20 years have gotten self-righteous?
Oh, never.
Let's own it. It's not perfect, but we're better than we used to be. And that is important. And to Avril's point, you know, the joy of America, I still have joy as an American citizen. I've found joy in much of the celebration that's happened. Yeah. But it will never be in I have to or I should do. It's not even in I choose to. It's I get to.
Absolutely.
And I understand the privilege of I get to. And just take a moment to study the history of other nations. That ability to I get to is not a right that other countries and nations have. I get to disagree with you. I get to sit at the table and not be afraid I'm going to be shot because I have a different of opinion. I celebrate, and that brings me joy as an American citizen.
And I'll share an I get to story. When I was in grad school, I was a gubernatorial fellow, but under a governor whose policies and laws I didn't agree with. I'm keeping that name to myself. And so we had to, that's how I felt, we had to meet the governor. And I should have felt I get to, but I didn't. I walked in the room and I tried to be as respectful as I could. And at some moment, I remember checking myself. I remember taking a sacred breath and giving the person a chance to be the person. And I listened and I sat in silence, and what I saw in front of me was a human. A human who I disagree with, but a human nonetheless, not a disagreement. The person is a human. And so I did get to meet the governor. I did get to hear the governor's perspectives. And that difference, that shift in language, is really important. And I think about, do you know Joy Harjo? Does that name sound familiar to some of you? Okay, look up Joy Harjo. She is the first Native American to be named a US Poet Laureate. And she writes amazing poetry, and she's Muscogee Creek. We are on the land of the Muscogee Creek. So there's this poem, again, it's a long one, here's a little excerpt, but when we're thinking about that question of what keeps us divided or united, whether we think it's perspectives, whether we think it's history, whatever we think it is, think about this poem. She had some horses. She had some horses she loved. She had some horses she hated. These were the same horses.
Democracy is not just a system of government. It is a daily practice of honoring the dignity of the fellow citizens. Democracy is a responsibility of honoring the value and the dignity of all the horses, of all the people, and finding that capacity and that divine idea within our own heart to live there, not just when it's easy and not just when it's comfortable.
And you're taking us right into our last question. What is ours to do in creating the divine idea? What is ours to do? So this was a question I grappled with. And what I landed on was connection and communion. And I didn't know why communion was sitting with me so strongly. So I looked it up to make sure I was using the word correctly. And sure enough, it was sharing intimate thoughts. Not simply hearing someone's intimate thoughts, not launching your own intimate thoughts at someone, but sharing intimate thoughts. So when we think about what is ours to do in creating the divine idea, I think we have to be in connection and communion with people we like, with people we disagree with. We have to remember that we are one in that conversation. And I'm never saying to put yourself in an unsafe situation. That's not what I'm saying. But there are people that disagree with you that are willing to share with you. Are you willing to share with them?
Answering that last question, and I'll give Avril the last word, this is what came to me. Become someone who gives the world another reason to believe that the divine idea of the United States still exists. Become the person who gives the world the view and the hope that the divine idea of this nation is still alive and is still well.
I know it's very much a bumper sticker and a t-shirt now, but be the change you want to see. I just can't get tired of that. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
That was a beautiful close. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Can we, before we move into offering time, can we say that together? Say that phrase together three times. Hands over your heart if you're comfortable. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.